This series about that we've just called Amped has just been so share what God has been doing in your heart and tell the story. And it has been remarkable. And Roy Kunkel is the cherry on top. He's the grand finale to this series. And it's just been such a blessing to me and to all of us, but also what it means to hear God's story as it's told in more than one person, and also to see how all these stories have been a remarkable tapestry. It's just been great, so don't ruin it. God, forgive me, and allow Roy to tune into your presence and your spirit. May he lead faithfully in the joys, the beauty, the passions that you have been leading him through. The things that we see evident in Roy and in his household, we anticipate being blessed one more time tonight. So we ask that you speak powerfully and boldly through your servant. May you find his heart tender and sensitive to your spirit. We pray by the name of Jesus and through the power of that spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Roy.
Thank you.
Is this on?
All right. Well, good evening. It is awesome to see everybody here to have this gathering. Just thank you, Van Church, for leading our hearts in worship. That was really, really good, really rich. I always love it when they come. So, as Kevin said, this is kind of the wrap up for this Amped series. And I wanted to honor those that have spoken before me, and kind of just give us little snippets and reminders of what we've heard about so far in this Amped Up series. And I have some notes here. Okay, I really did memorize this all, but I'm going to tell you, I'm probably going to refer a lot to my notes, so sorry if I lose eye contact and I look down, but it's just, I'm not a professional speaker. And the first thing I want to say is, in preparing for this, I think Kevin ought to get a raise. I really do. Huh? All right. It's hard. It's really hard. But God is good. Hopefully he's put some words on my heart that will help you guys in your relationship with each other and with our Savior and our God. So the first one we heard from, and let's go ahead and get Luke Simmons up there. Sorry about the fuzziness. I stole these pictures from Kevin, and you know, it probably wasn't the best job. But anyway, Luke actually just shared some really awesome words. And the first thing I need to say about Luke is I admire him so much because he stood up here with nothing. He just stood up here and told us, he laid out this perfectly laid out sermon without referring to one. I don't know how he does that. I don't know. I just don't know, but Luke is awesome. Okay, would you pass that on to him for me? Okay. Anyway, What he did is he provided context for two characters that we see in the Gospels. We had one of the characters was called Simon the Zealot, and the other one was called Matthew the tax collector. And he took those two personalities and he contrasted that the zealot was, well, he was zealous, and he was basically a terrorist fighting against the Roman army as a Jewish, you know, as a Jew under the rule of the Roman army. And he taught us a really cool word. It was called Sicarii. He was probably of the sect of the Sicarii. And they carried daggers, and they would stab Roman soldiers, you know, as they were going by and then run. And it was a kind of terrorism. And then he told us about Matthew, who was really kind of a sellout to the Roman government. He was a tax collector. He collected money from his fellow Jews, probably skimming off the top, and then he gave it over to the Romans. So two characters, and yet Jesus chose those two and said, okay, you guys are going to work together and get along, you know. And that's where he entitled it. He entitled this thing, Yes, Even Him. So Matthew is going, I gotta be alongside that radical? Yes, even him. And Simon, even more so, was going, I gotta be alongside this sellout? Yes, even him. And we are all different personalities. What I took from his lessons, we're all different personalities, and I just need to love, yes, even all of you. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus went to the cross and did it for yes, all of us. He did it freely. So that's kind of a sum up of that. I gotta get through this. Okay, next we had Kara Deal, okay? And she very professionally and very well went through some stories from the Bible that were about, it was about people that did the hard thing that they really didn't want to do. You know, she talked about the woman at the well who Jesus met her and told her all about her life. And she had to go immediately and tell the people that probably looked down on her, frankly, and tell them about Jesus. And she told them about him. And Kara made the comment that her dad calls this woman at the well probably the first Christian missionary. And, you know, I think there might be some truth to that. And anyway, this woman, you know, it was hard for her to do that. And she invited these people and they came. That was awesome. Then she told about Jesus when he was in Gethsemane and he was praying for God to take this cup from me. And yet he didn't. He did the hard thing because of his love for his Father and because of his love for us. And finally, she told the story of Jonah. And Jonah was told to go to Nineveh and to preach to them. And he tried everything to get out of it. And finally, he couldn't avoid it. And he did it. And so then she brought it together by saying that she was given natural talents. Her examples were basketball and singing. And she said she just always did what was easy for her. And when it got a little tough, you know, like when she got into college basketball, it got a little harder, then she just kind of decided maybe that wasn't my thing. And what she did was speaking in front of a group was not her thing. And oh, can I relate to that? And she did it anyway because it was worthwhile. So I just took away from her lesson that, you know, that we need to stretch ourselves. You know, we need to be willing to go out and do the tough things. Okay. Next, we heard from Malcolm McMillan. And he actually did tell, he kind of told his story, you know. And the bottom line out of his story was, does anybody remember? Who I am. Yeah, who I am in Jesus is who I really am. But he said, I am a child of God. That's what, we sang that song that night, and it was really good to just kind of really, really reinforce that lesson. I am a child of God is what he said. It doesn't matter what I do. Let me see. Okay. We must not define ourselves. This is what he said. I wanted to get it right. We must not define ourselves in terms of what we do, give, like, or have. We first and foremost need to take on the identity that we are children of God. And then, in that spirit, go ahead and do, give, like, or have with the freedom that we have in Christ. Okay. Mike Tolan, and he just prayed over me tonight, and I really appreciated that. And that's what he talked about. Will you walk with me in prayer? And I know he has literally said those words to me. And I know that Mike is a man of prayer. He's also gave us a little gift of a little book. And I have written in there, and the first thing I wrote was, praise God every day for he is good. And I'm gonna keep that and just put little snippets. I actually wrote something down in it tonight that I'm gonna refer to a little bit later. So that was I just know that Mike is a man of prayer and he is a lover of God and of people. And that's awesome. Finally, we heard from Luke Diehl. And Luke really made me think. He made me think about Jesus as the light of the world. He also made me think about the laws of physics. When we talked about the properties of light versus the properties of dark. And when he said that, I actually turned to my neighbor, I think it was Wendy, and I said, yeah, you know, I've never heard of dark waves. And she just kind of gave me a blank look, and then I realized, oh, that's nerd humor. Yeah, that was not that funny. And because I'm kind of a, he said he was a nerd, and I'm kind of a nerd too. And I mean, you know, you heard of light waves, but nobody's ever heard of dark waves. Dark is really nothing, and that was Luke's point, was that, could you do the next slide? I wanted to introduce you guys. This is a friend of mine, Mr. Cromwell. He was my physics teacher in high school. Okay? And he was totally amped up about physics, as you can kind of see from that expression on his face. And he told us that sometimes light acts like waves, and sometimes it acts like particles. And I think as we get more and more understanding, it's really waves of particles. And they call them protons or something like that. And so, I don't know, it's just, you know, that God created something like that from nothing is just amazing to me. I'm going to believe in my heart that Mr. Cromwell was a Christian. I know he went to Seattle Pacific University. That's a Christian university, right? And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But one of my favorite things he taught me, and I will never forget the formula for force in physics. And, you know, I'm sorry for nerding out a little bit on you, but force equals mass times acceleration. But the reason I've never forgotten that is because, and he's probably saying it right here, my mom was really forceful. She was like, it was like a matriarchal household I grew up in. And she said, Dad, you know, we weren't scared of Dad, we were scared of Mom. So force equals ma. And I've never forgotten that. And that was what that was how he taught us to remember that formula for force. Anyway, little aside, go ahead, move on. As John 1:5 states, Jesus is the light which shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So this made me think about how a darkness is associated with the devil, and light is associated with God. It makes sense, because darkness is nothingness. It's the absence of everything. And Satan cannot create anything. He can just destroy. So really, when you destroy everything, all you have left is darkness. And it made me think, and I really appreciated that. And he kind of ended up saying that we are created by God, and we're created for God. And that kind of launches me into what I wanted to talk about tonight. I don't believe he created us. We were created for God. I don't believe he created us just to lie around and simply soak up the grace that we have freely received through faith in Jesus. He created us to be people in relationship with other people and with him. And relationship requires action. So I am amped up about, there it is. I'm amped up about action. Having said that, I must first go here, because there can be no mistake that it's by grace that we've been saved. Ephesians 2:8-9. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. I just had to put that foundation there. I mean, that is the truth. And I know it with every fiber of my being, that it is impossible for me to do anything to earn the priceless gift of living forever with our Father in heaven. I would also like to emphasize that I'm by no means a mighty man of action. So I just, let's not, it's just that when I am encouraged, and Patty is really good at encouraging me to take action.
And when I'm encouraged to constructive action, it always changes me for the better. I know that for a fact. It's hard for me to stop analyzing and jump in sometimes. I just overanalyze things, and sometimes I just gotta jump in. And when I do finally jump in, I'm always really glad that I did. Okay, listen to James 2, 14 through 16, as we talk about action. An act of faith is what we're talking about. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Alongside of action, I'm also amped by music. And I wish I was a little better at it, but I really, again, enjoyed Van Church and what they did tonight. For that reason, I've decided to invite some musical friends of mine to do some scripture reading for me. Our first guest will be, Rich Mullins. And he's going to share from James 2, 14 through 26. Now, this is a bit of a paraphrase, but here it is. And before I just wanted to say a by the way. When he wrote this song, I never saw him in concert. Kevin actually had the privilege of seeing him in concert, and I'm a little bit envious about that, I have to say. He's one of my heroes, and I've seen videos of him, and I saw him say this. He said kind of tongue-in-cheek that he dedicated this song to a man named Martin Luther. And I grew up as a Lutheran, so I can, I feel like I have, I can say this, because, it's my roots, But I know that Martin Luther called James, who wrote the words that we're going to read, or that we're going to enjoy from Rich Mullins, he called James the wooden apostle, because he said that we are saved by faith only. And anybody that talks about works at all as an expression of our faith is just, that's just crazy. And he said that he feels that Martin Luther may have started the Protestant tradition of kind of taking the pieces in the Bible that we really believe in and hammering on them. But then there's other places, like where he told the young rich ruler that he had to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor. And we kind of maybe don't, especially here in America, because we're all rich young rulers in America, we might be maybe just kind of brush that one away. And Rich Mullins said, we got to accept the whole package. And I would agree with that. I think you all would agree too. So, with that, we're going to hear his words. And we're going to do even a little bit more than hear his words. Yes, we are. Wait, not yet. Oh, hold on. Please. The cup chorus must, the Christian cup chorus must get in place first. Are we good? Oh. Okay, right from the beginning. It's got to be. You guys ready?
Yes.
As a screen door on a submarine, fake without words, baby. It just ain't happening. One is your left, one is your right. It'll take two strong arms to hold on tight. Some folks have cut off the nose just to spite their face. I think you need some words to show for your alleged faith. Well, there's a difference, you know, between having faith and playing make believe. Make you sleep, talk about it. Better really think you ought to take a leap off of the ship before you claim to walk on water. Faith without words, like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless. useless as a screen door on a submarine. Fate comes from God, read every word that he breathes. He lets you take it to your heart, so you can give it hands and feet. It's gotta be active if it's gonna be alive. You gotta put it into practice, otherwise it can survive. It's useless as a screen door on a submarine. Fate without works, baby. It just ain't happening. One is a right, one is a left. It's your life, your guide, your life and your breath. But faith without words is like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. Faith without words like a song you can't sing. It's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine.
I would like to thank the ladies of the Christian Cup Choir. Thank you very much. I really do appreciate that. And children, my wife Patty thought the kids might enjoy that, so she said, keep them in here. And so children, you're now dismissed, except for the high school, except for the teens are going to stay in here tonight. Whew. I thought, you know, what better way to talk about action than that? And I have to say, I'm going to share something about you, Kim. Kim really didn't want to do this, but she jumped in and did it anyway. Yeah. She did the hard thing. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, Kim. And Holly and Hannah, also, thank you so much. Okay. So, each one of the musical friends that I've invited to read scripture. So that, of course, was from James, right? Maybe a little bit of a paraphrase, but for the most part. It was funny. I was up in Tacoma yesterday watching a soccer game that my grandson was playing in. And I told him I was going to preach a sermon. He said, oh, yeah, really? And I said, yeah, we're going to sing a really fun song. It's called Screen Door. And I told him the words. I said, you know, it's about as useless as a screen door on a submarine. As soon as I said that, he goes, what? That's ridiculous. They go underwater. Why would they, you know? He got it. He totally got it, you know, and he's just six, he's not even 6 years old yet. So I think, you know, what a good way to, you know, Rich Mullins was a communicator. And I know Kevin has shared with me, he believes Rich Mullins was a prophet. I kind of think he was too. He died before his time. And what I want to say is that I want to say a little bit about Rich, because I didn't invite anybody that didn't know about putting their faith into action. And Rich Mullins really did put his faith into actions, because he made a lot of money. He wrote a song called Awesome God. Anybody ever heard of that song? He wrote so many songs other than Screen Door that were just incredible. And I'm pretty sure they probably made a lot of money in the Christian, you know, music market. He didn't want to see any of it. He wanted to just live a simple life, and he just took a very, very small salary. The rest he gave away, and he really had a heart for the Navajo people. And before he died, he was teaching Navajo children, you know, Jesus songs, and reaching them through music. So he put his faith into action. He really did. The second friend that I've invited is a man named Keith Green. And he is another gifted musician who put his love into action through Last Days Ministries. He and his wife, Melody, began Last Days Ministries in their home, and it quickly became a ministry of serving and sharing the word. And unfortunately, Keith died an untimely death at the age of 28. But Melody carries on the legacy they began together. And I would encourage you just to, I think I have it, yeah. There's lastdaysministries.org. And it's really inspiring to see that. I would encourage you maybe to just look that up. One thing that really struck me there is Melody is unapologetically a pro-life person. And she loves and supports babies, their mothers, and their fathers, and it's an integral part of her ministry. Anyway, it was actually my love of Keith's music and message and inspired that inspired me. Excuse me, I'm going to take a drink. Let me try that again. It was my love of Keith's music and message that inspired me to be amped up about action in the first place. So here are Keith's words, or here are Jesus. These are Jesus' words as Keith expresses them, I might say with zeal.
When the Son of Man comes, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit on his glorious throne, and he shall divide the nations before him, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall put the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. And he shall say to the sheep, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I was sick, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Thank you. Enter into your rest. Shall answer him. Yes, they shall answer him. And they'll say, Lord, when were you hungry, Lord, and we gave you something to eat? Lord, when were you thirsty? Can't remember. And we gave you drink. When were you naked, Lord, and we clothed you? Or Lord, when were you a stranger and we invited you in? I mean, we invited lots of people in. But Lord, I'd never forget that face. Lord, when were you sick and we visited you? Or in prison and we came to you? Lord, tell us, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Oh, yes. Inasmuch as you've done it to the very least of my brethren, oh, you've done it. You've done it unto me. Enter into your rest. And he shall turn to those on his left, the goats. Depart from me, cursed ones, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was naked, out in the cold, in exposure, and you sent me away. I was a stranger, and I knocked at your door. But you didn't open, you told me to go away. I was sick, wrapped in pain upon my bed, and I begged and prayed and pleaded that you'd come, but you didn't. I was in prison, and I rotted there. I prayed that you'd come. I heard your programs on the radio and read your magazines, but you never came. Depart from me. Lord, there must be some mistake. When? Lord, when? I mean, when were you hungry, Lord? And we didn't give you something to eat. Lord, when were you thirsty and we didn't give you a drink? I mean, that's not fair. Well, would you like something now? One of the angels want to go out and get the Lord a hamburger and a Coke? Yeah. Oh, you're not hungry. Yeah, I lost my appetite too. Lord, when were you naked? I mean, that's not fair either, Lord. We didn't even know what size you wear. Lord, when were you a stranger, Lord? You weren't one of those creepy people that used to come to the door, were you? Oh, Lord, that wasn't our ministry, Lord. We just didn't feel led, you know? Lord, when were you sick? What did you have anyway? Well, at least it wasn't fatal. Oh, it was? Oh, I'm sorry, Lord, I would have sent you a card. Lord, just one last thing we want to know. When were you in prison, Lord? Well, what were you in for anyway? I had a friend in Leavenworth. Enough! Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you have not done it unto me. Inasmuch as you've not done it to the least of my brethren, you've not done it unto me. Depart from me. And these shall go away into everlasting fire, but the righteous into eternal life. And my friends, the only difference between the sheep and the goats, according to this scripture, is what they did and didn't do.
Is what they did and didn't do. And I have to say, you know, first of all, I love the way that he speaks with his piano, you know, the way that he does the shifts from minor to major and just makes it move along. And I hope, I know that's kind of long, but I just think he expresses scripture so incredibly in that song. I would have loved to have met Keith Green, I think. I don't know, how about you? Hey, who wants to be a sheep? Huh? Huh? Yeah, anybody want to be a goat? Yeah, I don't think so. That's right, you guys have a goat, don't you? Sorry about it. No. Okay, a scriptural sheep and goat, let's just say it that way. The only difference is what they did and didn't do. So I've heard this song I used to hear it a lot, you know, in the past. And then I was just kind of perusing music, and I saw this. And I listened to it again. And that last time I listened to it, as always, I've loved his mastery of the piano and just the way that he can, you know, accompany a scripture that way. But when I hadn't really heard this statement, and when he said is the only difference is what they did and didn't do, and then I realized, well, those are Jesus' words, and I went back to James and I read James just to make sure that he was telling the story right, because you know we should never base our theology on songs that we hear, right? If we, you know, that's the wrong idea, you know. If you hear something that you kind of question in a song, don't take that for gospel, you know. Check it again according, you know, against your scriptures. But so I read it, and it's actually, that's exactly the way that Jesus told this story. And it really was. The only difference between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do. So, of course, you know, it kind of rocked me a little bit. And I actually mentioned it. It was several months ago. I mentioned it to Kevin. And in his usual, you know, I was kind of hoping for some insight, you know, the answer, you know, why was Jesus talking about, you know, it sounded like he was talking about being saved by works, you know. And I asked him, and I said, is this really what the story is? And in his usual helpful way, Kevin just said, yep, that's the story. He didn't give me any insight or anything. I think what he was doing was encouraging me to do my own studying. And that's what he usually does. So I did, you know, and I just studied it and did a lot of reading. And I'm just going to really, I'm so sorry. We're a little bit, you know, pushed for time. But so I'm going to read these words. We don't have to go through the slides on all these, but I'm just going to, the Bible is full of scriptures that talk about action. And I just want to share those with you. Because it's real, you know, it's true. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. Titus 3:7-14. And I had to get some grace in here, okay? Because, you know, it's still there. It's always there. It always will be. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. But then if you move on down to 14, it says, our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. We're going to pass by Philemon, and this was just this morning, Rich Kolb. I get an email from him every day that's called Good Thoughts, and he said, live simply, love generously, care deeply, and speak kindly. Knowing is not enough, we must act. Being willing is not enough, we must do. Which leads us to the next one. There is no try, only do. Okay, that's not from the scripture. That was Yoda, okay. But even he was a man of action, okay? Maybe he was a Christian too. You never know. Maybe he's a fictional character that's just in a movie that's all made up too. You know, it could be. So anyway, we're getting there. So after reading all those action verses, now I have to say, what about grace and faith alone and all that? What about that? So it's been really good. It was really good for me to grapple with this, and it really has been helpful to me. And what I've concluded actually is that God does want something from us. But it really doesn't have anything to do with action. It doesn't have anything to do with our works. What God wants from us is our heart. That is honestly what he wants. And so now it's only fair that we share verses that have to do with him wanting our hearts. Matthew 5:8, these are Jesus' words. And I'm glad that we can balance off Jesus' words that, you know, he definitely said words that we should put our faith into action. Those were Jesus' words, but these are his too. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. And then again, Jesus said in Matthew 22:37. That was Matthew 5:8. This is Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. God wants our heart. In Jeremiah 24:7, we read, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with all their heart. Proverbs 23:26. Oh, my son, give me your heart. May your eyes take delight in following my ways. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then in Samuel, we kind of begin to hear the David story a little bit. David, you know, who was the shepherd and became king of Israel. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his heart or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. After removing Saul, he made David their king. And this is from Acts 13:22. After removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. At this point, I need to interject that David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, David hurt God. He sinned. He committed adultery with a woman named Bathsheba, who was somebody else's wife. And then after that, he committed murder. And Uriah the Hittite was her husband. And Uriah was a man of war and was fighting a battle for King David. And he tried to lure Uriah back so that he could make love to his wife Bathsheba, and that baby that she was carrying from David could be, everybody would think, oh, it's Uriah's. But Uriah was a noble soldier, and he said, no, I can't. While my men are out in the field, I can't do that. So Uriah was sent back, and at that point, when that cover-up failed, David had Uriah set up for death. And so he did some heavy things, right? But Nathan the prophet kind of brought it to his attention and made him see what he'd done. And he was racked with guilt and sorrow. And these words are what he said when he realized. Next slide. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. And Keith Green, I kind of like this balance. Keith Green, so Keith wrote the song about the sheep and the goats, about putting our faith into action. He also wrote a song about the heart. And I want you guys to just sing along with this video as we watch what Keith Green did with this song.
Spirit within me.
Drawn from all of this, all of what I was talking about tonight. I believe the sheep and the goats is not necessarily talking about the church and the world. I think maybe some of us, I mean, there's some people that want to believe that, but, and this is something that it's sad for me to say, but I believe that there are actually goats that will masquerade within churches. And, you know, as well as out in the world. And out in the world, you know, if there's no church around, I'm sure there's sheep in the world too. And those are who God will gather on his right hand. It's really talking about those. I think that the sheep are those who claim Jesus as their shepherd. Because you can't really be a sheep unless you claim the shepherd. And then the goats are those that reject Jesus. So I think that's kind of the bottom line. We are definitely saved by grace through faith. There's no doubt about that, okay? I just, if, you know, If you hear nothing else, you need to know that. You need to realize that. And our gratitude for the free gift of salvation is simply expressed by our grateful hearts compelling us into action. And I believe that also. I believe what James said, that a faith without action is a dead faith. And so we need to keep our eyes open and look for people that are in need and look at, you know, and discover ways that we can help people that do that. I'm sorry, I've gone over, and I'm really sorry about that. So I want the ewes and what's a male sheep? Is that actually a ram? That's really weird. A male sheep is a ram. So anyway, ewes and rams, go get your lambs. And so while we're being dismissed, there's actually one more song that I have here, but I'm just going to have that song playing as we're dismissed. It's by a guy named Jeff Moore. Is he up there? Oh, hey, did you catch my little change up there? I'm really more amped. I have to say, I'm more amped about the heart than anything else. Is the next? Oh, there we go. So this is my last buddy, and he wrote a song. It's called "A Heart to God and a Hand to Man," and I just believe it, there's such good words that we're just going to play that as you guys all are dismissed and go around, or you can just watch it. You know, it's your choice. But moms and dads, go get your kids. Thank you. Oh, hey, wait, there's one more thing. I forgot to share this. I need to share this. This touched me tonight when we were worshiping, and I had to write it down. Take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Take my life and let it be yours. Amen. Those are such good words. Okay, you're dismissed. Thank you.